Okay, we're holding שמונה פרקים, פרק השביעי. הרבה מצב מדרשות ואגדות, ומהם גם בתלמוד, שיש מנביאים מי שרואה את השם מאחורי מסכים מרובים. We find many times in the Midrash, and in the Haggadot, and the stories, and also in the Shas, and the Gemara, the prophets sometimes see God, and it's as though they're seeing God beyond many curtains. ומהם מי שראו מאחורי מסכים מעטים. Some see God, and there are less curtains separating between them and God. לפי ערך קרבתם לפני השם והוא מעלתם בנבואה. In accordance with their value before their closeness before God and their elevated levels of prophecy. עד שאמרו, until our sages reached a point that they said, שמשה רבינו ראה את השם מאחורי מסך אחד בהיר, כלומר שקוף. Our sages described Moshe's prophecy that he saw God, so to speak, through one curtain, which was a see-through curtain. והוא אמרם, and that's what our sages said, הסתכל בספקלריה מהירת עיניים. He looked through a glass that makes one's eyes light. וספקלריה שם הראוי העשוי מחומר שקוף כעלום וכזכוכית. And when our sages described him looking through an aspaklaya, aspaklaya is a reference to something that's made of a see-through material, like a diamond or some kind of glass. Moshen ve'el besof kirim, as the Rambam will expand upon, towards the end of the Shas in his explanation of Mishnah and the end of Tractate Kalim. והכוונה בעניין זה מה שעבר לך. And what our sages meant by this is as follows. והוא שכבר ביארנו בפרק השני שמעלות מהם הגיוניות ומהם מידותיות. The Rambam had explained that when we speak about a person's perfecting himself, becoming a better person, so there are traits which one perfects that have to do with one's logic, and there are traits that have to do with one's traits. וכן המגרעות, מהן מגרעות בהיגיון, כגון השכלות והפתיות וקושי הבנה. Certain lackings are lackings that are intellectual. For example, a person's foolish, a person is a simpleton, a person has learning disabilities, so he's lacking, but there are lackings that have to do with his intellect. ומהן מידותיות, and there are certain lackings that have to do with a person's traits, kigon atav tanud, for a person, for example, a person who's interested in the physical, vagava, a person who's haughty, varagzanut, a person who angers easily, vacharon, vazut, a person who's brazen, vavatamamon, a person who's niggardly, he seeks money all the time, vidomihem, and things that are similar to this, vemrabimod, and there are many ways a person can be lacking when it comes to his traits. וכבר ביארנו חוק ידיעותם בפרק הרביעי. We already explained in the fourth chapter how do we recognize what's a correct trait and what's an incorrect trait and how does one attain balance. וכל המגרות הללו הם המסכים המבדילים בין האדם לבין השם יתעלה. And these lackings are the curtains that separate between man and God. אמר הנביא בביארו את זה, the prophet said in explaining this, the prophet said, "Ki mavonotechem ayu mavdilim beinechem levein elokechem." The only thing separating between you and your God are your sins. Amal, the prophet said, "Shavonotenu, that our sins, vehem haraot alalu, and these are these bad traits, kmo sheizkanu, as we've mentioned, hem hamasachim mavdilim beinenu veino itala. They are the curtains that separate between us and God. When one wants to come close to God, so one has to perfect his traits. He has to become a good person. The better a person is, the closer he can come to understanding, to being close to God. The separations between him and God are really his own lackings, his own faults. V'da shekol navi no mitlabe ela achar sheniknu lo kol ha'malot ha'egyoniyot. Know that a prophet may only prophesy after he's acquired all the logical, all the intellectual elevated statures. He's acquired all the good traits when it comes to the traits of logic, when it comes to acquiring an elevated stature of a person who's got those aspects. He's smart, he understands, he's not a simpleton, he's not fooled easily. So in order for a person to attain prophecy, he has to first acquire all the traits, if we'll call them that, that are logical, and most of the traits that have to do with a person's his traits, the way a person behaves, how did we call them before? The logical acquisitions, and then the acquisitions when it comes to person's traits, what kind of person a person is. And a person at least has to attain a chamorot shebehem, the more stringent ones, the weightier ones. And that's what our sages said. One cannot attain prophecy unless he's wise, he is brave, and wealthy. Chacham, when we say he's wise, that includes all the logical acquisitions one has to have. Vashir, when we say he's wealthy, that's one of the traits a person is supposed to have. Kolomar, ayin tova, to have a good eye. Tafishem kulim nebad ayin tova. Our sages say when you have a good eye, you are an ashir. You are a wealthy person. That's what our sages said. Bagdarat ashir, when they defined what is a wealthy person, ezu ashir asamech bechelko. Who is a wealthy person? One who's happy with his lot. This isn't easy. I'm trying to think if I know anyone who fulfills this, who's happy with his lot. The Rambam saying that when our sages told us that in order to attain prophecy, one has to be chacham, gibor, and ashir. So chacham refers to all the things, all the logical acquisitions a person is supposed to have. When we say a wise person, it means he's acquired all the logical aspects, the intellectual stature that he's supposed to have. And when we say ashir, so that's a reference to many of the traits that a person is supposed to have, which are encompassed in what's called an ayin tova, good eye, one who feels like he's happy with what he has and he's happy with what others have. Yeah, that's a good eye, being happy with what others have. You know, our sages say, "Vavta l'racha," you should love your friends. So people are always willing to love their friends, so long as I have one better than it. I don't mind that you have a car if I have two. I don't mind that you have a Lexus, if I have an Infiniti, or vice versa. I don't know. I'm not with the times, but that's why the Torah says, "Vavta l'racha kamocha," you should love your friend when he has like you. We always want to have one better, and we're supposed to train ourselves. One of the traits of the offsprings of Avram is that they have a good eye. Bilam has a bad eye. He always wants. And Avram has a good eye. He always wants to give. So our sages taught us that a person is only wealthy when he values what he has and he has a good eye for what others have. The Rambam here is saying something which is controversial. Our sages said in order to attain prophecy, one has to be chacham gibor ashir. One has to be wise, he has to be brave, he has to be wealthy. So the simple understanding is that it's literal. You have to be wealthy, you have to have money. Our sages prove it from Jonah. Jonah, when he wanted to take the ship, so he paid everyone else's fare. He told the captain, he said, "Don't wait till we get enough people to board. Go now, I'll pay the fare for whoever's missing. You want to have a full ship? I'll pay for whoever's missing." And that's one that the Gemara seems to understand it literally. The Ran, who was a great rabbi a little bit after the Rambam, he takes the Rambam to task over this. He says it means literally, you have to be wealthy. You want to be a prophet, you have to be wealthy. So the Rambam goes differently. The Rambam says, when our sages said that in order to attain prophecy, you have to be wealthy, what the Gemara meant is that you have to attain that trait that you feel wealthy, that you're happy with what you have. He's happy with what the times have given him. Notice that terminology. It doesn't say with what God has given him, but what the times have given him. The Gemara says that there was an Amoro who was very poor, and life was very, very difficult for him. And at one point, he ate an onion when he had nothing else to eat, and his heart couldn't take it. He couldn't take the sharpness when he hadn't eaten anything, and he was like half dead. And his students saw him in this state of a coma, and at some point they saw him smiling and a flash of light coming out before him. You know the Gemara? So they asked him, "Hey, what'd you see?" So he said, "I had this conversation with God. And I said, 'God, this life is terrible.' So we're going to summarize the conversation." So God asks him, "Well, if you want, I could start the world from scratch, could recreate the world, And then maybe you'll fall under constellation where you'll have you'll be wealthy. So the Gemara comments, maybe. We see that wealth has to do with the constellation. Our sages say it's a question of mazel. It's a question of fortune and luck, how the times are set up when a person is born. So he said, have I lived out more of my life, or do I have more left to live? So God said, you've lived out more of your life than you have left to live. So he said, okay, we'll leave the world as is. Let's not recreate. Yeah, so I'm saying that might be why the Rambam refers to it as that a person is happy with what the times have given him. The Rambam uses a terminology with which we have to analyze. Yeah?
So actually it means not that you need a certain amount of money. It means only that when, let's say I have every month 300 euro and another person has 1,500. So I don't need to fight the 1,500 when I'm already happy. It's like really happy with like this 300. I don't need more money. Like, because it's right that it's saying like you should be happy with what you have right now. So if you feel like very happy with the, I don't know, like only with the bicycle, or you should take a car. You know, like,
for sure.
Really happy,
for sure. Yeah, but it's not an easy level to attain. I think to an extent this is where chinuch plays a large role. The way we're brought up has a large impact. We have to build on the way we were brought up, but I think that a lot of this is ingrained in us as we're growing up. It's known, the story about the Mexican who comes to the shore and he puts out a bait, reels out his hook with the bait, and he fishes in this large fish, and he puts it in his basket, and he walks and takes his sombrero, puts it down over his forehead, and lies down to rest. Now, there's an American businessman who was on vacation, and he comes, and he came down to the beach at the same time as the Mexican. So he tells him, "How'd you do that?" So he says, "What do you mean? I fished a fish." Says, "You do it that easily?" He says, "Yeah, every day I come down here, fish. This is going to be my family's lunch. This is going to be our supper." So the businessman tells him, "But why'd you stop?" So he says, "What do I need? I have a fish. We have lunch. We have supper." So the businessman tells him, "But you could have continued and gotten another one, right?" So he says, "Yeah." So he says, "And then another one." So he says, "Yeah." So he says, "So why didn't you?" So he says, "What would I do with two more fish?" So he says, "Well, you could get a whole pile of fish, and then you could go to the market and sell it." So he says, "Yeah." So he says, "Well, why don't you do this?" So he says, "What would I do after I sold it?" So he says, "Well, they'd make money. You could get a few more. You could get workers. Your sons. You could get more. You could catch more fish. You could stay all day here and get a lot of money at the end of the day." So he says, "Yeah. And then what would I do with it?" So he says, "Look at me. You could work and then get a house and have a yacht and afford a flight out to Mexico like me and sit here in the sun and enjoy life." So he says to him, "I'm doing that now. Why do I have to catch all the fish?" And so, you know, it's a silly story because, I mean, he didn't. If you catch only one fish, then you don't have the money. If you need a doctor, you don't have the money for a dental treatment. You don't have the money if there's a leak in the roof. We do need some money, and in Judaism, we're supposed to have some money. A lot of the mitzvahs cost money. Can't have tefillin without money. Can't have a loaf of nesrog without money. So that story takes it to an extreme. But that Mexican grew up a certain way. And to a large extent, the attitudes that we have are a product of how we grew up. And those of us who come from the United States are going to have a hard time doing this. One of the difficulties, I think, that Americans have is being happy with what they have. And here in Israel, it's been developing in the same direction. The economy is built on the assumption that advertising could train us to think we need more, that we'd be happy if we had one more thing. If only we had that new gadget, then we would be happy. And society is running that way. So on the one hand, this is a trait that everyone has to acquire. On the other hand, in today's day and age, I think it's even more difficult to acquire. Yeah, I'm with you. If you guys don't mind, one of my rabbis once told me that this becomes a bigger challenge when you get married. when you live in a dorm, this is what he said, and lately I've been contemplating, I'm not sure I understand it, but this is what he said. He said, when you live in a dorm, so your dorm room looks like a dump. So you say, okay, fine, this is how I live, this is where I live. There's paint peeling, your bed is bumpy, you don't feel like it's yours, you don't feel like it's representative of you. When you get married, so suddenly this is my house, this is where I invite people. And then he claimed that then it's natural to want more. And then there's a greater feeling that it's representative of who I am, especially today, where you ask a person, you ask a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he says, I want to be a doctor. We're defined by what we're going to make and what job we're going to have. And we're not defined by what kind of people we are. And society really, really works that way today. A person is defined by his job. I am a doctor. I am a businessman. I am a lawyer. No one says I am a Jew. I learn daf yomi. I wake up early in the morning to learn. I spend 8 hours a day learning. I am a person who learns Torah and tries to keep it. And on the side, I make parnasa this way. No, it's not how we define ourselves.
I say this.
It is? Okay, good.
What?
Okay. So I think that's very good. But I think this is a big challenge today. So the Rambam saying that in order to attain prophecy, a person has to at least have this trait. The Rambam says that when he says wealthy, it means a samech v'chako. Can you want something?
One more question?
Yeah.
No, I feel like the only thing that maybe makes me like not being able to... Okay, what if you want to do more mitzvot and want to learn more Torah? And so does that fall into not being happy with your...
No. Sages say that when it comes to the physical world, one is supposed to be happy with his lot, and when it comes to the spiritual world, one is never supposed to be happy with his lot. You always have to aspire for more. So much so that Chazal said, "Kinat sofrin," jealousy between Talmid Chachamim, Tar v'Chochma, causes great wisdom. I have a friend who learns a lot, and I always tell him, I don't understand. Chazal said, "Kinat sofrin, Talves Chochma." I'm so jealous. I should be so smart by now. Yeah, I'm with you.
What happens if to learn more Torah, I have to buy books that we don't have in the English library. And so I really want to get certain books.
So sometimes that's like tools.
Is it bad that I want to get these books?
I think that books can sometimes be Yetzer Hara. Books can sometimes fall in that category, but usually not. I mean, hopefully when a person's starting out, so... Even when a person wants to learn it, Rabbi Feinstein, I have a friend who has a huge library. His library is so big that almost every wall in his house has a bookcase, and every bookcase is at least 2 books deep, if not 3 books deep. Some of his bookcases are 3 books deep. So he has a huge library, and he learned by Rabbi Feinstein. He's one of the people that got me to go to the yeshiva. And he told me once, he has a brother who has a smaller library, like 1 wall, and his brother learns every single book in the library. They both work. Very impressive individuals. His brother finishes work at 5 o'clock and sits down and learns every night till 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay, every night he learns. He's a steady learner. And this guy, he also learns and he knows a lot, but he doesn't come close to his brother. He's got a huge library and he doesn't come close to his brother. And they're both students of Rabbi Feinstein. So Rabbi Feinstein once told this guy who has a huge library, he told him, I want you to know, your Yetzer Hara is the books. For you, you're buying books, a lot of fascinating books, but you want to grow in Torah, you don't need all these books. There are basics that you need. You need a Gemara, you need a Mishnah, you need a Rambam, you need a Shulchan Aruch. There are basics. So I'm saying, as far as a person's wanting to buy books, on some level, it's right. A person needs books. It's tools for learning. But at some level, at some point, it can become a Yetzer Hara.
So books I want is just to learn.
Okay, so, but even just to learn, everyone just wants to learn. The question is, basics or not basics? There are things that a person needs in order to grow, and then there are things that are just for the fun of it. So there are a lot of interesting things out there. We have to get the tools we need. So it's always a balance.
What can you define better? What's some of us have different needs that we need to learn. So what constitutes? I mean, we can say basics. So
think that here the question begins with what should a person be learning, and then it evolves to what books should a person acquire.
How do we find out what that portion is in the Torah? Yeah? It says we're all whatever it is. Yeah, our portion in the Torah. So what is that? How do we find out which portion it is?
So if a person learns in a true fashion, with truly wanting to know, and wanting to know what one needs to know, then a person has to build his learning. Now, building one's learning is composed of a few things. On the one hand, we always have to spice our learning with things that we enjoy. So sometimes it's going to be taking breaks, going for a walk, going for a coffee, talking to friends. Sometimes it's going to be learning Midrash, learning stories. For another person, it's going to be learning Chassidut. But we have to remember that this is the spice. The bread and butter of learning, which we have to really, like the Chazal say, right, the bread and butter of learning is knowing the Chumash, knowing the Mitzvot, knowing the Halacha. Now, if one is capable, one can invest time, then one should learn the Halacha in the best way, going from the Chumash to learning Mishnah, to learning Gemara, to learning how to paskin in Halacha. That's the ideal. That takes many, 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 many years. If one cannot do that, so one at least has to have a knowledge of basics. What are the Taryag Mitzvos? When am I performing a Mitzvah and when not? One has to know the Mitzvos. That's why we have that session on Friday, as small as it may be, where we do 7 minutes every Friday, and we cover every Friday. We've been covering almost 10 Mitzvot. You figure like that. And by the end of the year, not this year, but then next year, you'll have covered all 613 Mitzvot. Our goal is to cover all 613. You have to know the 613 Mitzvot. You have to know understand the davening that you're praying. You have to know what it says in Tanakh. A person has to learn Musar. A person also has to learn Halacha and know how to function. And then there's the spice. So the question is more, how does each individual break up his day? If one is not going to have the years to develop in order to learn Gemara that way, so at least one should have an affinity for learning Gemara. One should learn enough that he can answer his children's questions. So in ancient times, people used to learn Ein Yaakov, which is just the Midrashim, or just the stories from the Gemara. So they used to learn that, and they used to learn Chayyadam, which was a shorthand version of Halacha. Today, Chayyadam isn't enough. Doesn't answer. Yeah, Ein Yaakov preceded the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is ancient.
But they never learned. They used to just learn it for unlearned people.
For sure. Unlearned people also would learn Rith, which summarizes the bottom line of the Gemara. All these things are important. Today, we have Art Scroll. A person can learn Gemara. And it's important that you at least have the tools to be a good parent. There's a different aspect of learning Torah, so you do have to invest time in order to be able to teach your kids a little bit Mishnah, a little bit Gemara. You owe that to your kids.
So the rule of thirds?
So the rule of thirds doesn't apply today. The Gemara brings an opinion that says one should divide his day into thirds. A third in Tanakh, a third in Mishnah, a third in Gemara. We can't do that. No? So it's a Gemara and Kedushin. So we can't do that. Their Gemara included Halacha, our Gemara doesn't. Their Tanakh was on a different level. We can't do that. Also, we're starting at an older age. We're not starting at 5 years old, not starting at 10 years old, not starting at 15. And the question is, what time frame are we working with? So on the one hand, we're working with life's time frame. On the other hand, the tools that we're getting now, the question is, how do we invest the time we have here? So that's why each person has to sit and think, how much time do I have? And then sit with a rabbi and think together. Someone who has experience. How much time should I invest in what? Now then, once you've defined how much time you should invest in each thing, so then you need the tools for it. Often we have an urge to acquire Sfarim. And the question is, do I need that Sefer to be in my library, or do I just want to learn it?
Who has that urge?
I definitely have that urge.
Definitely have.
For sure.
So I just want to match the Shulchan Aruch in the Mishnah Berurah.
Oh, just match the Shulchan Aruch.
No, because I have to start. I can't waste time. I'm already 26, and I need to learn as much as I can. So
what? So I'm not following.
Because I want to buy things only that I'm going to learn every day. I'm going to implant into my schedule. And that's one of the things that's very important to me is the Shemar Aruch. Once I learn Hebrew, I can learn the other three parts of the Shemar Aruch. But,
okay.
We don't have Shulchan Aruch in the library.
It's $400.
We don't have Shulchan Aruch in the library?
We got about a fifth of the Orchai.
We also have upstairs a library.
In Hebrew.
Oh, I don't know.
So the Rambam defines a person who is wealthy as a person who is happy with his lot, meaning a person who is content with what the times have given him, as we discussed. And he isn't saddened by what the times have not given him. Meaning, it's two things. And so too, in our sages said that in order to attain prophecy, one has to be a gibor, a brave person. That's also one of the greater traits. So to speak, that a person channels his strengths in accordance with intellect, as we've explained in the fifth chapter. And that's what our sages taught us. Who do we consider a brave person? One who has control over his tendencies. When a person has control, his tendencies don't take control of him, but his intellect takes control over his tendencies. That's called a gibor. When Dama ben Asina, that non-Jew, is sitting and is with all the senators, and his mother, who's insane, walks in and spits in his face and starts tearing his clothes off of him, and he doesn't say a word, that's a gibor. That's a brave person. That's, he has control. The en mitnaya navi sheyubo amalot amidotiyot bichlalutan ad shelo yeh bo shum igrat klal. But it is not, again, it is not one of the criterion in order to be a prophet that one should be perfect, that he has no lackings. That is not, says the Rambam. Sharei Shlomo aya navi, for Shlomo was a prophet. We'll get back to this point in a second. Kmo sheida katuv, as the verse testifies, begivon ira Hashem, and givon Hashem appeared to King Solomon. Umotanu bo b'firush migod midotiyot. We find clearly that Shlomo had certain lackings. Vehu atav tanut. We see that Shlomo was interested in physical things. Vehu ribui nashim. He had many wives. Shezem pulot chunot atav tanut. That's an outgrowth of his interest in the physical. We have a clear indication, the verse tells us that with regard to these things, King Solomon sinned. King David too was a prophet, as King David attests, Lidi Beltzu Israel, the rock of Israel spoke to me. We see he was a prophet. We find that his heart was hard. And even though he used that in his wars against the other nations and in his wiping out those that were kofrim, and with regard to Israel, he was merciful. We see that God says that because he killed so many people, he could not build the temple. What does God tell him? You spilled a lot of blood. You cannot build my temple. We find Elio, he was a great prophet, and yet he had the trait of anger. Even though he used his anger against those that were heretics, he was angry at them. Shem silkov amalo shen roi livne adam. God removed Elio from being a prophet. He said, you don't fit to be with mankind. You're so zealous, you don't fit to be among mankind. You're going to wipe them out. So you're zealous. So says the Rambam, we see that's a fault. So too we find Shmuel was fearful. Fearful from King Saul. The Rambam stressing that in Judaism we don't have saints. In Judaism we say a person can attain prophecy. He has to make his traits very, very good, but we're not expecting perfection. And The Rambam enumerated here, King Solomon was a prophet. He wasn't perfect. He had many wives. King David was a prophet. He wasn't perfect. He killed a lot of people. Elio was a prophet. He wasn't perfect. He had anger. And now Shmuel was a prophet, equal to Moshe and Aaron, but he had fear. V'Yakov nitirei mipgishat Esav. Jacob was fearful with when he was going to encounter Esav. Kol amidot eruv chayotze bim him hamasachim shel hanavim aleihem hashalom. And all of these traits in which they were lacking, these traits caused them to have these curtains that separated between them and God. בכל מי שהיה בו מהם שתי מידות או שלוש אינן מוצאות, כמו שביאר מפרק רבי, אומרים לו שהוא ראה את השם מאחורי שני מסכים או שלושה. And when we say a person had two or three traits that were lacking, and lacking means that they didn't follow the golden path, as the Rambam explained, the middle path, so then we say he had two or three curtains separating between him and God. So, two things. First of all, the pasuk says, "Velokam naviot beYisrael kiMoshe." The Torah is attesting that no prophet ever arose like Moshe. But will there arise a prophet like Moshe? Don't our sages say that the Messiah is going to be like Moshe? He's going to be an amazing prophet? So that's firstly. From that verse, the question isn't so... I don't think the question is so strong.
There hasn't been a woman.
I don't think so. It says, Lokam. Unless you're referring to a different pasuk, there's a second one, I think. I don't remember. The second thing is that when we say that Shmuel was equal to Moshe and Aaron put together, it means in certain respects.
Maybe it's just referring to the ability to pass.
I'm not sure it means that. I'm not sure it means on that level. It says in certain respects he was equal to them. I'm not sure that he was better than them in prophecy. So I'm saying, so that's what makes more sense to me. In that respect, when it speaks about Moshe, it's speaking about the respect of prophecy. When speaking about Shmuel, it says, Ish shakul kishne anashim, a man who weighed in like two, like these two. What does it mean he weighed in? Does it mean he weighed in for the benefit of the Jewish people? I'm not sure what Chazal mean. I'm not sure what they mean that he weighed like them too. Ve'al titma al kach shechisaron b'miktzat midot mema'et ma'alat hanavah. Don't be surprised when we say if a person is only lacking a little bit, but when it comes to a trait, that causes his prophecy to be on a lower level. Lefi shematzanu miktzat migrot hamidotiyot monot hanavah legamrei. For we find that if a person is lacking even a little bit when it comes to his traits, that could cause him to be disqualified from having prophecy altogether. Kigon akas. For example, when it comes to anger, Amru, our sages taught us, anyone who gets angry, if he is a prophet that got angry, then his prophecy is removed from him. We derive this from Elijah, that when he got angry, he no longer was capable of having prophetic vision, until he was able to remove the anger from within him. And that's why Elijah said, again, now bring someone to play music before me, so I'll calm down. Now they'll to have prophecy again. V'chen ha'daga, so to worry, v'adavon, and sorrow, l'fi sh'Yakov avinu, kolim evlo al Yosef, nistaka menu ruach ha'kodesh, ad sh'nit pasar shu chai. As we find that Jacob, our forefather, all the days that he was in mourning over his son Joseph, he did not have ruach ha'kodesh, until he heard that Yosef was alive. Amar, the Torah says, when he heard Yosef was alive, Vatechi ruach Yaakov avihim. Yaakov's spirit came to life. Amar ha-Targum, and Unklos translated that, Hamfareshet enyanim hamkubalim im Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know that Unklos, his explanations are in tradition all the way back to Moshe. V'sharat ruach kutsha Yaakov avuhon. So he explains, what does it mean Yaakov's spirit came to life? When Yaakov heard his son Yosef was alive, he stopped mourning, and therefore Ruach HaKodesh again settled upon Yaakov. Belashon Chachamim, and what our sages taught us is, En nevuah shorah, prophecy does not settle upon a person, lo mitoch hatzlut, not out of laziness, ve lo mitoch hatzvut, nor out of sadness, ela mitoch dvar simcha. But rather, one can only attain prophecy when he's coming from a position of happiness. So, what? So we have to possess the proper traits. And after we have the proper traits, we also have to be in a state of simcha. Should we continue another 5 minutes and finish the chapter? Yeah? Rav Koch? Okay. We're on page Reish Samach. The next page. Yes. We're here. And because Moshe knew that there was no curtain that he hadn't torn, and that he had already attained all the great levels, the great traits, and he attained all the great levels of logical, he attained all the logical traits. Bikeshi asigat Hashem. That's why he asked God, let me attain a true understanding of you, kafir mitat mitziuto, in the true fashion of recognizing who God is. Kevanshlo nishalo shumoneh, because he said, what's holding me back? I've already perfected everything. V'amar hareini nat kvodecha. And that's why Moshe said, please reveal to me, show me your honor. Azod yo Hashem itadash zebiti efshari. Then Hashem let him know that was impossible. Mikevanshu hu sechel matzui b'chomer. Because his intellect is still found within the physical. In other words, he's nonetheless, he is man, he is physical. And that's what God told him. Man cannot see me and remain alive. And what remained between him and attaining an understanding of God's truthful presence, what remained was one clear veiling, one clear curtain between him and God. And that curtain was the last curtain, which is the last separation, and that is the fact that he has a physical mind. And God did do him this kindness, that God allowed him to attain more than he had attained before his request. And God let him know that so long as he is composed of a physical body, he will not be capable of getting to the bottom of it. And God nicknamed, so to speak, being able to see him to see God clearly, God calls it seeing God's face. Because when you see your friend's face, so you get the mind processes it in a way that you know who that person is. You'll try describing it with external factors. You'll say he's got two eyes, he's got two ears, he's got a nose, the color of his skin is red, the color of his eyebrows are brown, he's got a receding hairline, he wears this kind of yarmulke. All the descriptions do not encompass the whole. When you see a whole, when you see a person, then you... The mind processes the whole, and it is not equal to all of its components. So God describes being able to attain an understanding of God, connecting with God the way Moshe wanted. God describes that as being able to see God's face. But if you see a person from behind, even though you recognize the person from behind, it could happen that you're not sure is it him or not. It's possible that you'll confuse him with someone else. And what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to attain was an understanding of the truthfulness of God's presence in a manner where God, where Moshe would never be able to confuse it with anything else. Meaning, Moshe wanted a perception of God that would be so clear that he would never be able to doubt it. And that perception would be like recognizing someone's face, where you'll never confuse that person with someone else. You know exactly what he looks like. And mankind can never attain that level of recognizing God. You guys understand what we just read? I mean, this is a phenomenal concept when you think about it, of emunah. It means that our whole life is a struggle. One can never attain a plateau where he's recognized and connected with God and say, I know. That's exactly how God runs the world. That's who God is, and that's what God wants for me. You can't attain that. You can attain levels where the challenges are different, but to attain a level where there's a clarity of understanding of who God is, we don't have that. Yeah. I'm with you. I don't know what you mean to say.
He says the only thing that practical setting is in out of his film, and the reason is because, like, you know, things are tied up in the front of the loop. You know, you're referring to.
I hear what you're saying. I don't think the explanation is written in the Gemara. It's a nice explanation.
But the explanation is not in the Gemara. I always heard them being associated together, that because the Gemara's always explaining, like, I never sleep in his time.
The Gemara says that God showed him the knot of tefillin. That's what the Gemara says. Everything that you're saying beyond that is nice, but I don't think it says that in the Gemara.
Every story where they read that he said, they always had the same explanation. Like, things are tied up, so you can't see that in the future things might seem like they're loose, but like, you look at them in hindsight, you see how they're tied. Yeah, that's all the emotion is able to see.
So, it's nice. No, it is said. But that's a nice pshat in the Gemara.
Hashem's omnipresent. And so, to me, only an omnipresent person could see an omnipresent person.
Yeah, is that so?
How can Moshe Rabbeinu, who's limited to a space, see a guy who is omnipresent? You would have to be omnipresent to see
omnipresence. The Rambam is explaining that Moshe wanted to attain an understanding of God. Mm-hmm. He's not looking to see a physical aspect of God. He's looking to attain a philosophical understanding, a prophetic clarity that will make it so that Moshe would never doubt God's presence and never confuse God's presence. And as clear as Moshe's prophecy was, there was a level of clarity which he could not attain. God says that level of clarity, it's impossible for mankind to attain, not so long as you're living. Aval hu alav shalom, but he, Moshe Rabbeinu, of blessed memory, hesig pachod mize me'at, he attained a drop less than this, v'hu shekinabo, and that's what God calls, you'll see my back. And beyond this, I'll explain further, says the Rambam in the book on prophecy. Because our sages knew that these two forms of lacking, the lacking when it comes to one's intellectual heights and when it comes to one's traits, so they are, these two forms of lacking are the curtains that separate man, between man and God. And with these aspirations, getting these heights, depending on what height one got, will define the difference of the level of prophecy. Amru al achadim mehem lefi ma shera'u mechochmatam umidotehim. When our sages saw some of the wise men of the generations and they saw how they perfected their traits, they said, they are fitting to have prophecy like Moshe Rabbeinu, our sages said about certain wise men. Why? Because they said they fixed their traits, they've attained the intellectual heights, that they're fitting to have prophecy like Moshe. And don't overlook the fact that they said like Moshe Rabbeinu. They weren't coming to equate these sages with Moshe Rabbeinu. They were saying that they are like Moshe. And in Hebrew we have to stress the word like. Like means lesser than, not equal to. And so too they said about others, they are fitting to get prophecy like Yeshua, who could make the moon stop and the sun stop. So again, the key word here is like. In Hebrew, like means similar to, but not equal to.
Viz. Like the third of times.
Okay.
The same word, like,
yeah, whenever you have the chafa demyon, kaf, whenever you say ki, so that's similar but not exactly. Similar in a lesser way. And this is the point we want to clarify in this chapter. So what do we see with the Rambam here? The Rambam taught us that prophets had different levels of attaining God. This is referred to by our sages as having different curtains, different numbers of curtains separating between them and God. The Rambam said that all prophets are not expected to be perfect. They're supposed to perfect their traits as much as possible. But the Rambam enumerated many faults of many prophets, and the Rambam says that they perfected the traits, but not 100%. They weren't perfect, and nonetheless, they were able to attain prophecy. But each imperfection is represented with another curtain. It's another separation in their ability to attain an understanding of God. Moshe Rabbeinu, who had perfected his traits, he really got it all down pat. He asked God, let me get perfect clarity. If I've perfected it, why do I need any curtain separating between me and you? And God said, no. So long as you're human, that's the human factor. You are human. And that's the one curtain which is clear as it is. And as much as you can attain, you cannot attain beyond that. And the Rambam said that these perfecting these traits, be it the intellectual heights or the traits perfecting who one is, those are the two aspects of perfection that one has to attain. Every prophet had to attain perfection in intellectual heights, and every prophet had to work on attaining perfection in traits. But when it came to the traits, they didn't have to be 100% perfect. And the Rambam taught us in passing a few chidushim. He said chacham, so that includes all the intellectual heights. Ashir means a person who's happy with his lot. He has an ayin tovah, a good eye. He's happy with what he doesn't have and happy with what he does have. And gibor means one who overcomes, who has full control over his traits. The Rambam, by the way, also said a chidush, which we didn't point out as we read it. He said that Shlomo was a prophet. And this is an argument. Not everyone agrees with the Rambam on this. Many of the Rishonim hold that Shlomo never attained prophecy, as wise as he was. He only attained the level of Ruach HaKodesh, and that is why all of Shlomo's works are in Kesuvim. There's a discussion, what's the difference between Nevim and Kesuvim? Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, prophesied, and his book was written in Jeremiah. His book of Melachim is in Prophets, Kings is in Prophets, it was composed by Jeremiah. And yet Lamentations is in Writings. So one explanation that's brought down by many Rishonim is that the works that were said over with Nevuah are written in Prophets. Those were said with prophecy. The works that were said or written with Ruach HaKodesh, those works appear in Kesuvim. And all of King Solomon's works appear in writing in Kesuvim, and that's why some say that King Solomon never attained the level of prophecy. So the Rambam here in passing said a big chiddush. He said that Shlomo did attain a level of prophecy. One second, Jeff, you want something?
Before Adam Rishon sinned, when he brought the level of the world down, would the Rambam said that the human factor wouldn't have been?
I don't know. I don't know. Whatever I'd say is a guess.
Wouldn't Adam and Eve be prophets too?
I don't know. Adam and Eve were prophets. They spoke to God.
Well, my question is, how old was Shmuel when he was like a boy? Because sometimes they say it's a boy, but he's like 20 years old or something. And how intellectual was he when he started hearing Hashem?
We see that he attained great heights when he was 3 years old. He was able to refute logical proofs of the Kohanim. When he came before Eli, he was 3. When he stopped nursing, he was 2, probably. Was Shmuel born circumcised? I don't remember. Huh? David was born circumcised. Shmuel? I don't remember. Could be it says it. I don't remember.
I think it does. I think it was
okay.
Reserve where it is.